Good morning. Knock, knock. Heaven. Haven't seen you in ages. Welcome back, everybody. It's good to see such a full house again. If you're visiting with us online, come on back. See us in person. Let's open this morning's worship service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for the weather. And we thank you for each other and for being able to worship together as your children here at the Midway Church of Christ. We ask you to please bless Russell as he brings us a lesson from your word this morning. Let us open our hearts and learn what it is that you would have us to learn from it. Help us to enjoy each other's company as your children, and to fellowship with each other. We're sorry, Lord, when we sin. We ask you to please forgive us of those sins and help us to try harder. And we thank you for Jesus, who allows us to be with you in heaven one day. It's in his name we pray.
Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer. The wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring. With one accord, with us the work to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with joyful song, the newborn soul whose days reclaimed from error's ways, inspired with hope and praise, to Christ belong.
Good morning. I'll be reading from 2 Kings 8. Verses 1 through 6, the Shunammites' land restored. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years." The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king for her house and land. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and had said, "Tell me about all the great things Elisha has done." Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and land. Gehazi said, "This is the woman, my lord, the king, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now."
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Most of you probably at some time or another had something like this, Play-Doh, in your house, or slime, or other types of substances that you can squeeze. And we, when Ava was probably two, we decided we would get a lot of Play-Doh and some of the things that you could do with Play-Doh. And it wasn't before long that we had to put a band on Play-Doh in the house, because it's pretty cool, but it ended up everywhere. It was on walls. It was in the dog's fur. It was on seats. You'd get up and discover Play-Doh on your pants. It was everywhere. But all of these things, we outlawed that, but other things that we've had deal with the same stuff. It gets everywhere. But the thing that's unique about it is it gives way and does whatever you want it to do. And if you want to make an imprint, it'll do that. But it basically cooperates with you. It obeys you. It follows your lead. And in Scripture, we have a picture in Jeremiah saying that God is the potter and we are the clay. In other words, God's trying to form us like a potter that's spinning the wheel. And sometimes God is successful and He's able to mold us and shape us exactly like He wants. But sometimes that clay mars. And if you know anything about potters that work with clay, if it mars, they'll often stop the wheel, get some water, try to smooth it out. But if it keeps on resisting His touch and keeps on marring, He has to smash it all down and start all over again. God's trying to form us. He's trying to lead us, guide us, give us the best. Jesus said the thief, John 10:10, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you abundant life. God wants what's best for us. And He gives us instructions in Scripture to mold and shape us, but sometimes we resist that. Sometimes instead of being obedient, yielding to God, we go the other direction. We don't always let Him have His way in our lives. And we even sing some songs. Have Thy own way, Lord. Have Thy own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. But sometimes when God starts trying to get involved in our lives, we don't like what He's doing and we resist His touch. We're going to discover this morning a story about someone who was willing to do what God told them to do, and because of that, some blessings flowed. I was thinking about things that when I want it to do it, it does it, and it doesn't not cooperate. Like if you play chess or checkers or backgammon, if you move your piece, it does what you tell it to do, right? But do people do that? When you tell people to do something, do they always obey? Do they always respond in the right way? I spent years teaching martial arts. And I would have lots of kids in class. And I would often say a command, fighting stance, left foot forward, right? And they would do this. And I would say, other left, right? So they would hear the command, but they would not always get it. In fact, some people wanted you to teach their kids that were really little, 4 or 5 years old. They wanted them to start martial arts. And I had a process that I would say, I'll run them through some instructions, because a lot of 4 and 5 year olds, they're not ready, right? And you say, low block, and they do this, you know? Or you say, low block, and they do this, right? They don't get the commands straight. And so they're going to be difficult. It's going to be frustrating, right? For them, for the instructor. So sometimes it's better for them to wait, right? I don't know why it is, but sometimes the girls that are younger can follow instructions quicker than the boys. I don't know why that is, right? But it's often that way. So sometimes they can start off a little sooner. Sometimes boys have to wait a little longer. How do you think God sometimes feels about us? He gives instructions. He gives commands. He gives principles. And sometimes we get the commands all wrong. We don't always do what He says. That's part of the picture we're going to look at today, because when we do what He says, there's blessings that come. And He's going to use this woman, this Shunammite woman, who we've already talked about, because several weeks ago, we saw a situation where she was a woman. She is not the person you would think would rise to the top as a person that's going to respond to God in the right way. But she makes a place for Elisha. She tells her husband, let's build him an apartment. And he comes and stays. And she doesn't have a child. She's older. And he says, you're going to have a child. Then she has a child. Then the child is out in the field and says, my head, my head. And he passes away. And she's the one that goes to Elisha. And when she's asked how she is, she says, it is well. She has this amazing response, and she wants Elisha to come heal her son. He heals her son. And then we moved on to other stories, and we left her behind. And now she reappears again. And what we know is Elisha comes to her and says, there's going to be a famine. It's going to be for 7 years, and you need to get out of here. Because if you stay here, there's going to be starvation and discomfort. And I want to save you from that. You need to go somewhere else. He doesn't tell her where to go. She goes to the land of the Philistines. And so she obeys his word. And we see that first blessing is a blessing of protection. So we're going to look together this morning at consider three blessings for obeying God's word in this text, verses 1 through 6. The blessing of God's protection. She got a word. She didn't question it. She didn't debate it. She just, the man of God is giving me a word from the Lord that there's going to be a famine, and I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to get out of here and get away. So she goes to the land of the Philistines for 7 years. You thought the pandemic was bad? Imagine going through it for 7 years. So people are starving, and she's in a safe place. What's the blessing? When you obey God's word, you're going to find protection. You're going to find deliverance. You're going to find peace. You're going to find salvation. Those things are going to come when you follow God's word, because God's word is designed to do what? In Joshua, he says, be careful to follow the words of the Lord. Why, Joshua? Because if you follow them, you will be successful. Who wants to be successful? Somebody say, not me. Someone needs to have a discussion. Anyway. Most of us want to be successful. But especially spiritually and in life, we want success. God's word was given for our good. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want all those, don't do this, don't do that, you know. God's just telling me, no, no, no. There's things I want to do, and God says no. It's interesting, when I taught and when I was being taught karate, I was being corrected all the time, but I never took it as a bad thing. They were trying to make me better. One thing we don't always get when we look at the Bible, the Jews actually, when it says, don't do this, they looked at that as a positive, not a negative. We tend to look at being told no as a negative. Sometimes we need to look at it as a positive. When God tells us not to do something, it's for a reason. We might not always understand it, but when we follow it, there's protection. How can you stand in the storms of life? Follow God's word. We sing the song, how will the young secure their hearts? By following His Word. That's the answer. Blessings come, especially protection comes, direction comes, whenever we follow the Word of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Part of the way He directs our steps is He tells us, do this. Don't do this. Do this. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat. But they ate. There was a curse because of that. If they would have never eaten that, they would have had protection from the things that came because they did eat it, right? You're able to stand the storms when you obey God's Word. And Jesus illustrates this point when He talks about obeying the Word of God. You can know it, but just knowing it's not enough. You have to put it into practice. And so Jesus says these words in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. Okay, just like the song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The storms came, and the wise man's house stood firm. Puts these words into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Solid foundation. How do you have a solid foundation in Christ? You put the words of God into practice in your life. Just don't know them, do them. The Bible's pretty simple. Simply obey God and good things will happen. Simply obey God and the walls will fall down. Simply obey God and you'll be saved in a boat when everybody else drowns. Simply obey God and good things will happen. Amen. And then he says, but everyone who hears these words, thank you for the amen, these words of mine, and especially because it was right on. Most of the time it's derogatory toward me. Does not put into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And the house went, we sing the song, the house fell with a great crash. It went splat, right? So if you know the word, but you don't put it into practice, you're being foolish. Because when the storm comes, you're not going to be able to stand the storm. So blessing number one is obey God's word and you'll be protected. You'll be blessed. You'll be able to stand in the storm. I cannot always know what's going to happen in someone's life, but I often pray for people. Give them the faith that they need to sustain them through this trial in their life. When I think about young people growing up here and graduating, like we celebrated last week, Isaiah, and he goes to a new vista in his life, I want him to have a faith that will sustain him through the storms of life. I guarantee you, if Isaiah puts God's word into practice in his life, he's going to be able to be faithful through whatever trials and storms he faces. Simple as that. If you obey God's word, you'll find protection. But also, there's a blessing of God's pleasure. When you obey God, it pleases Him. And when God is pleased with you, God will work in your life and make your paths straight, and you will find yourself in God's providence. God's going to look out for you. God's going to take care of you. When you trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust God and do what He says, and it pleases God when you obey Him, and He will provide you with providence. This is kind of a cool part of the story. If someone came to you and said, something's going to happen, you need to get out of here for 7 years. And then you come back and everything's changed. And your house is not your house anymore. Your land is not your land anymore. Everything's changed. That's what she goes through. But she trusts that God's going to take care of her. And when she comes back, the king is starting to ask questions about Elisha. Same king who wanted to get Elisha. is now wanting to know stories about Elisha. So Gehazi is telling him things that he did, and just at the right time, as he's asking the question, she comes and is present. And Gehazi says, wow, this is the woman who I was telling you about, and her son that was raised. Was that coincidence or was that providence? That was a God thing. That was providence. God was pleased with her because she obeyed His will, and He worked providentially in her life to restore everything that she had before in an amazing way, and the timing worked out perfectly. You want God to be working in your life? We're told in the New Testament, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And God is at work in you to willing to act according to His purposes. There's always my part and there's God's part, but God is always working, and He works in our lives in wonderful ways for great things to happen. And providentially, at just the right time, the king's asking questions, Gehazi is giving answers, and this woman is there. Perfect timing. That's God's timing. His timing is amazing. My timing and God's timing don't always measure up. I want it now. I want deliverance now. I want relief now. I want things to happen now. But sometimes when I look back, I think, I'm glad God's smarter than me, because I didn't need it now, I needed it later. Because I needed to mature a little bit through some of the pain before I got there. And we all know the country western song Garth Brooks sings. I thank God sometimes for unanswered prayer, right? Have you ever prayed for something, you really thought you needed it, and it didn't happen? Later on you thought, I dodged a bullet there. Glad God was looking out for me. There's the blessing of God's providence. It brings pleasure to God. And Ezekiel talks about who displeases God by not obeying His word, and infers if you obey His word, that's what he's looking for. In Ezekiel chapter 33, when's the last time we read from Ezekiel? All right. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and the doors of their houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message of the Lord. So they're standing at each other's doorways and they're knocking on the door and they're saying, hey, come with me to listen to Ezekiel preach the word of the Lord. And I know all y'all went out this last week and y'all went to your neighbor and you said, hey, come, let's go listen to Russell. Come to church with me, right? So that's what they're doing. They're like booster, be a rooster, whatever that song is we sing for VBS. I mean, they're doing the right stuff. They're doing the right thing. They're being evangelistic. And it says, my people come to you as they usually do. These are regular attenders at church. They come all the time. You can't get better than that, right? They are the faithful. They come and listen to Ezekiel. There's some of you that come and listen to me all the time. I wonder why, but you're faithful. These are faithful people. They come as they usually do and sit before you and hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. So they're doing the right thing, but their hearts are in the wrong place. Why, Ezekiel? Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Who displeases God? People who hear the word and don't put it into practice. Who pleases God? People that hear the word and put it into practice. And He blesses those people. Final blessing, the blessing of God's provision. When we hear the word and we do it, blessings come. And one of those blessings is it provides us with the things we need. Peter says everything we need for life and godliness is in God's word. His revealed truth. Everything we need for life and godliness is here. But it can't work if you don't put it into practice. So, God's word is meant to be followed. If you know it, you need to do it. Are there some things you know God's Word says? Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Are you evangelistic? Pray. What's your prayer life like? Study the Word. What's your Bible study like? Don't give up meeting together. Some of them are in the habit of doing, but show up. There's some things in God's Word that are easy for me to obey, and there's some things that are difficult to obey. If you want to get real personal, do you obey God's Word as it relates to your marriage? The way you raise your kids? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. You obeying God's Word? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I mean, we have to be honest with Scripture, and sometimes it tells us to do things like obey the laws of the land, except when you're driving. That doesn't count, right? No. Counts across the board. Sometimes it's not easy to do, but what happens when we obey the Word? Let's look at this text in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. But what happens to the woman is everything is restored. Even the expenses she was out when she was gone, the king says, he gets somebody and says, you give everything back to her. She doesn't just get her property back. She gets more than that. And when you follow God's Word, the blessings are going to come. And you're going to... When I read that concept, I get the picture of somebody just standing in a fountain of blessings and they're just saturated with all kinds of blessings that come from God. But you got to obey God's Word. This is what James says. Don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word and does not do what it says, it's like a person who looks in the mirror and forgets what they look like and goes away immediately and forgets what they look like. I had two translations going in my head, so sorry about that. I'll read verse 23 over. Anyone who listens to the Word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. Now, when I was a kid, I grew up seeing song leaders and preachers sometimes get up and they'd have piece of Kleenex stuck on their face. They cut themselves shaving. They put it there. They put their tie on. They looked in the mirror, but they showed up to church and they looked in the mirror, but they forgot what they looked like, right? He's saying, if you hear the Word and you don't put it into practice, you're like a guy who looks in the mirror and you forget what you look like. Now, sometimes I show up to church and I got my collar up or whatever and there's somebody fixing me, right? Did I look in the mirror? Yeah, it didn't register and something's out of whack and it's got to get fixed. But mirrors don't lie, do they? This is the mirror, and when we look into it, it doesn't lie, and it will tell me if I'm doing good or bad, if I need to correct something or not. It tells me, and he says, when you don't put it into practice, you're like looking in the mirror and you forget what you look like, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You want to be blessed in your life? Don't complicate it. Pick up this Word, read it, and simply do what it says, and you will be blessed. If you don't feel blessed, it's your fault. Because here's a promise from God. If you do what this says, you will be blessed. You know anybody who's in sin? Go to them with gentleness and help them out. I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to talk to that person about that. I don't feel comfortable, judge. And we start coming up with all kinds of scriptures to talk us out of doing what we should do. Just follow His Word. Just do what it says. In the right way, with the right spirit, you get what I'm saying. There's some things, I don't want to go today. I don't want to be around church people today. Just obey. It's simple, isn't it? And the blessings, you'll have trouble counting your blessings if you just start doing what it says. I mean, He shows us in this text some blessings that come. I've shared this before, but not to internet land and not to a lot of new people that are here, but it's been a while. But how many of you got this when you were little? A book like a children's Bible like this. This was probably, I think it was 1968. I was born in 63. I guess the assumption was I could see pictures pretty clearly by this time. My great-grandmother, who would ask us to quote scriptures before we ate meals with her, and she would quote scriptures back at us. The one who went to the wall of pictures and said, your cousin's going to do this. And she pointed at my picture and said, you're going to be a preacher. That same grandmother. She gave me this and she wrote in the front, I've kept it all these years. If you give a gift to a kid, a Bible or something, don't just put their name, write them a note. Because my great-grandmother's been gone for a long time, but these words, still very close to my heart. What did she write? In this book you will read of many people, real people like you and me. Pictures painted. I like the picture part. That's me. I hope you learn about these people, what they did. Then when you were older, you can read in the Bible of many more things they did, how God dealt with them when they did evil, how they were punished. I don't know why she did that part first. But then, how God blessed them when they obeyed the rules God made for them. God still expects His people to live righteously, fear God, and keep His commandments. May you ever be guided by God's rules. Simple, isn't it? But sometimes we get spiritually sophisticated and we forget the most important part. Simply doing what God's Word said. The Shunammite woman, considered by many an outsider, was doing the right stuff. She was taking to heart what God said and doing it. What about you? He gives us three blessings. Are you getting God's protection? Are you pleasing God? Are you getting God's provision because you respond to His Word in the right way? If I squeeze this Play-Doh, it will respond. When God communicates to you and I, how do we respond? If I left this out in the heat for a long, long time and it got hard, it wouldn't be as pliable as it is now. Are we like clay in God's hands? A lot of that is up to us and how we respond to His Word. Maybe you're here today and you know that you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Simply obey God's Word. Come forward this morning and we'll baptize you into Christ if that's your need. Don't wait another moment. Or maybe you've drifted away from God and you need to let the community of believers know, hey, I want to get my life right on track. Or maybe you're here and you want to place membership with a church that wants to follow all that God says in His Word. We invite you to do that as we sing.
You are mine.
step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Crystal bright fountain, in from the dawn of creation, wonderful story of love. Wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above us with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful story of love.
I forgot my communion cup. They killed him. They thought. But on the third day, he arose. They couldn't kill him. He arose. And after his death, he spent time final instructions to his apostles and to many other people who he had contact with. And then some 40 days later, he arose into heaven. But as he was going into heaven, he told the apostles and us that I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to take you followers of believers, you Christians, with me to heaven. But in the meantime, between the time I ascended the first time and when I come back, I want you to remember me every Sunday, every first day of the week. I want you to remember me with two simple items. One is unleavened bread. That unleavened bread was to resemble or to remind us of the body that was broken during the persecution, torture, beating, and then the hanging on the cross. So as we remember Christ's body, let us do so with a prayer. Father, as we gather here this morning to remember what Christ did for us, how he was willing to give his all that we might have at home with him. We remember the body that was broken. And as we partake of this bread, help us to do so in a way that is pleasing to you and will cause us strength in the following days. These things we ask in your name. And while he was hanging on that cross, it came time to just see if he was dead or alive still, because it was coming up that the Passover was coming and they needed him to be dead and off the cross. So they stuck a spear in his side. There was already blood coming down because of the nails. But the spear in the side caused a large gush of the body fluids. Horrible thing to happen. We need to appreciate that so much. And we need to appreciate what that does for us. So let us pray once more. Father, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which reminds us of Jesus, the time that he was suffering so much for us. As we take this, help us to remember that only a person with great love would do what he did, and help us to love him by remembering him and obeying him. These things we ask in your name. God has blessed each of us in so many, many ways. Every day we see blessings that we have in this country. We're so blessed. So he's asked us to remember that the work of the church can only go forward if we give to help in that means. And he asked us to do that cheerfully, willingly, happily, knowing that whatever we give is going to be for the good of the church as a whole. So let us remember to put our contribution in the box in the back, or if you are online, to bring to the window and drop through the slot, or to mail in your contribution. So let us pray now for this. Father, as we remember the good things you've given us personally, the things that are yours that you've loaned to us, help us to remember to bring forth to you some of our portions. Help us to always do that happily and gratefully and thankfully. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Some of you may have noticed we do have cards in the back of the attendance cards in the back of the pew in front of you. If you want to fill those out real quick, Koi is going to come pick them up after this song.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out. Tell the world of saving grace, make it known in every place. Ring it out, ring it out. Help the needy ones to know him from whom all blessings flow. Ring it out, ring it out, ring out the word. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out. Sin and doubt to sweep away till shut on the better day. Ring it out, ring it out, till the sinful world be won for Jehovah's mighty Son. Ring it out, ring it out, ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out.
Will you bow with me as we close out our services? Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for this time which has been set aside for us to come and worship before you. Father, we pray that our praises to you, that our opening of your word has been beneficial to each of us, Father, that it has prepared us for the coming week, for the challenges ahead, and that we will be ready to meet those challenges. And we pray, Father, that it has been acceptable to you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.